Hello and welcome to the Brentas Foundation podcast, where we throw light on some of the African continent's biggest and most pressing issues and leverage best practice, not just on what to do, but how to do it. I'm your host, Marino Ongoklo, and it's a pleasure to share in this moment with you. If you're new here, welcome. It's nice to have you here. If you're a regular, hey, how's it going? So this is the podcast where I share a lot of the super interesting conversations I have with really cool people. I'm a firm believer in sharing ideas that shape and challenge the world as we know it. My hope is that these conversations, where you get to be a fly on the wall, start further and deeper conversations wherever you are and lead to the exploring of actions and ideas that actually work and make a difference. So without further ado, let's get straight into it. Again, I'm Marie Noel and you're listening to the Brentas Foundation podcast. According to Ukrainian officials, more than 10,000 allegations of war crimes have been investigated by a multinational team sorting through the atrocities of Bucha, Mariupol, and other cities across Ukraine. The Kiev-based civic organization Center for Civil Liberties was created on 30th May 2007. It has a mission to promote the values of human rights, democracy, and solidarity in Ukraine and Eurasia by way of asserting the principle of human dignity in practice. They face their fair share of challenges over the years. This time, they are faced with incredible amounts of atrocities that get even them in shock. The work is not just time-consuming, but it's emotionally draining and psychologically challenging. In today's episode, the last of my Ukraine series, I sit with Oleksandra Mavichuk. Oleksandra is the head of the board for the Center for Civil Liberties in Ukraine. In this chat, we talk about the findings of war crimes so far and what the end of the war looks like. What would it look like to be able to bring justice to the current situation and to the lives and families that have suffered under this act of aggression? This episode, I'll say, is a real chat. It's a real chat in the sense of the loaded word, real. I hope it helps you understand the realities in Ukraine today and why this war must end. The aggression, the injustice, the unfairness of it all is enough. So first of all, Oleksandra, thank you so much for joining me today and for agreeing to do this with me. It's been pleasant being here in Kyiv. And so thank you for receiving me. And I should say, welcome to the Brentas Foundation podcast. Today, what I'm hoping to get a sense of is really to hear a little bit about the work that you do here. Can you share a little bit about this and how you got into this space?
I'm a human rights defender, and for 20 years I have been defending human rights, 8 years in the war. And since large-scale Russian invasion, we have documented jointly with other human rights defenders across the country more than 18,000 war crimes. And I must be very honest, I'm a human rights lawyer, but now I'm thinking that we are documenting not like a crime under the Article 8 or 7 of Rome Statute. We documented a human pain. And these stories which we have been documenting, it's very difficult stories. We spoke with people who were forced by Russians to go to the basement to appoint several volunteers, among them for being killed, and Russians killed them, these volunteers. A lot of actions which we documented, they were no military necessity in doing it. For example, there is were no military necessity for firing, using tanks to firing at people on a bicycle on the streets. And our mobile groups found their bodies lay scattered around the street until liberation, and there were no legal purpose into breaking in someone's house, kill the owner, rape the wife, and then her child. So it's a real human pain which we are documented. And I'm as a person, I wasn't able, even me, with all my background, I will be very honest, I wasn't be able for such kind of atrocities.
No, that really is a story of pain, and gosh, I can't imagine having to do that, but also not only seeing that and being heartbroken, but also having the courage to record that, to try to bring justice to, you know, such situations or for such people and families, at least those that were left behind. So I'm sorry you had to experience that. I wanted to get a sense of, since the 24th of February, what is the record in terms of the crimes that you, your team or your organization has been able to record so far?
Well, we record different types of war crimes, because Russia uses war crimes as a method of warfare. As I told, they try to break people's resistance and occupy the country by the tool which I call the immense pain of civilian population. We documented the deliberate shelling on residential buildings, churches, schools, the objects of critical civilian infrastructure. We documented the deliberate killings of civilians, abductions, rape, torture, and other way of terrorizing civilians in order to keep the occupied territories under the control. We documented the using the prohibited weapons in densely populated areas and the other kinds of war crimes. And the main question for me, for current moment, frankly speaking, is not only how to document this enormous pain which Ukrainian people are face for current moment in the war, but how to bring the war criminals accountable. This is the main question, because the problem is that all this hell which we face in Ukraine is a result of total impunity which Russian military enjoyed for decades. They committed war crimes in Chechnya, in Moldova, in Syria, in Libya, in Chechnya, in Mali, and they enjoyed impunity. They have not been punished even for using chemical weapons against civilians in Syria, and it's led to the result that Russians started to think that they can do with people everything what they wanted to do.
So in terms of the efforts right now, what are you hoping to be able to achieve in terms of trying to hold them to account, trying to bring some justice? What are some of the channels you're using? What are you trying to set up to make this happen or maybe different from all these other places that you've listed?
We try to convince the international community that the justice is a value, that we will not be able to reach sustainable peace without justice, that hundreds of thousands of victims are deserved for justice. Not only lucky one who will be selected by International Criminal Court, because the International Criminal Court started their investigation, but they will limit itself only for several cases. And this is a question which will have an impact not only to Ukraine, but to another people in the world who suffered from war crimes. I think that we have on the international level to establish a procedures, a mechanism, how to bring justice for victims of war crimes, regardless of in what country they are. Regardless who committed these war crimes, the country like Russia, which have nuclear power, or another country. So we need justice for all. And this is very important goal, not only for Ukrainian human rights defenders, but for human rights defenders from other countries and for international community in general.
How do you imagine this happening? So if others tried in the past with other things, how you, what efforts are you making at the moment, and where do you think that would be different?
We have no guarantee. But in a novel life, there is no guarantee too. So we are trying harder to work not only with national investigative bodies or with International Criminal Court, because, you know, International Criminal Court will limit itself only on several cases. And this is a question. Who will provide justice from hundreds of thousands of victims of Russian war crimes? And it's not national law system, because national law system are not capable The Office of General Prosecutors now investigated more than 33,000 of criminal proceedings. It's impossible. It's an enormous amount of crimes. The most effective national law system in the world are not capable to deal with such enormous amount of crimes. That's why we promote the idea to create additional mechanism. It's very essential to work with ICC to strengthen national ability of a prosecutor office, of court system, but still we think about tribunal, about creation of the international tribunal, which can fill this accountability gap. And Ukraine is not only one country which faces this challenge.
What would you need to see to say that people are getting their justice? What are some of the indicators that will show to you and people working in the human rights space that we're on the right path, that we are actually getting what we need to be getting? What would that look like?
I will use one metaphor. I start to notice by myself that I start to speak about people with numbers. Because we now documented such scale of atrocities that it's impossible for me to mention names. So justice for me, it means when we return names to people. When, regardless of who they are, a famous journalist or ordinary farmers, all of them deserve to justice.
Yeah.
All of them deserve their name to be mentioned.
Absolutely.
All of them deserve that a state procedure of investigation and court hearing will establish the details, how these people were killed, how they were suffered, and who is responsible for that, and bring their perpetrators to justice. This is means for me.
That's amazing. Thank you for sharing that. And finally, as we, you know, put this message out and people are listening to it, what is your message, especially to people in Africa, and especially young people, a lot of whom, you know, this is one of the most visible or biggest, you know, sort of instances of aggression that people have noticed or realized? What is the message that you want to get across? And I think it'd be interesting to hear a bit about what you mentioned earlier, that it's not just a war between countries, but it's between two systems.
Yes, it's a war between two systems of authoritarianism and democracy. And in this war, we are fighting for our freedom in all meanings. We are fighting for freedom to be independent nation. We are not Russian colony. We are Ukrainian people. We have a rights for our own language, for our own culture, for our own development. And also, we have a freedom to choose our democratic path. We don't want to be under authoritarian rule as Russian want us to be. So I think that my main call will be that we are all human beings. And there are a lot of things which have no limitation in national borders. And pain is very understandable for all people in the earth. And solidarity is very understandable. And we live in a very interconnected world. So we have support each other. We have support the struggle for freedom.
Alexandra, thank you so much for taking time to do this with me. I appreciate this moment. I appreciate the work that you and your team are doing, and I'm really hoping for outcomes that won't necessarily bring back a lot of people, but at least would be favorable in terms of looking at the future and securing the lives and territories of people in Ukraine. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
That brings us to the end of today's show. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did putting it together. I love learning new things. Hey, if you enjoyed this chat, you definitely enjoy others that came before it. Check out previous episodes on whichever platform you're tuned into now, or visit our website www.thebrenthurstfoundation.org for other episodes. As always, thank you so much for listening. And if I could make one last ask of you, please do share this with others. Again, you're listening to Marie Noel on the Brenthurst Foundation podcast, and it's been a pleasure sharing this time with you. Until next week, stay well.